realfaith.org.au.
Graham Staines was a young man who grew up near Brisbane, and he spent the next 35 years of his life serving lepers in a very sort of remote part of India, and raised a family there. He had three children, and then in 1999, some radical people who didn't like what he was doing actually attacked him and some of his children in a vehicle, and they unfortunately passed away.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Today we're going to find out how a Perth school teacher came to write and produce a major feature film. His name is Andrew Matthews, and the movie is called The Least of These, The Graham Staines Story. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric.
And you are coming to us today via the telephone from a room inside the school that you teach at, is that right?
That's right. I'm head of performing arts at Swan Christian College over in Perth. That's my regular day job, and I love it. It's great.
And we're going to find out how you came to be the writer of this wonderful movie that I just saw recently. But first, we want to find out a little bit of your background and how did you get into the arts in the first place. So what was it like growing up in South Africa? Is that right?
That's right. I grew up in South Africa. I grew up on a cattle farm, so quite a long way from making movies. But God can do all sorts of things in one's life. Yeah. So I grew up in South Africa. I grew up on a cattle farm. I was, I guess part of that maybe was that I was often alone and using my imagination a lot and creating stories in my games. So perhaps that fed into the whole sort of creative side of things.
And it sounds like you kind of have an adventurous spirit. You've done backpacking and military service. You've kind of traveled a bit.
Yeah, so in South Africa back then, we all had to do military service, and spent my 2 years in the army, which was an interesting experience. I guess I learned quite a lot from that. And then I took off, actually went to Bible college for 6 months, and then took off overseas, backpacked for a year. And that was an interesting time because I really started questioning, I suppose, things that I'd accepted about God in those years overseas, and God really spoke to me. Actually, when I was working in Israel, which is an interesting little story, I was picking fruit, working there on a moshav, which is like a kibbutz, and you don't have any fellowship, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, and after a while you start losing touch with that reality, and everyone else around you doesn't seem to be doing that. And I got to the point where I was kind of like, well, God, I'm not sure that God actually exists. And I remember as I was leaving Israel, I was leaving on a very early morning flight going back to London and sort of almost shaking my fist at God and saying, you know, you've got to prove yourself. Otherwise, I'm out of here. I'm going to just go and enjoy myself. You know, when you're a young man, you sometimes just want to indulge those desires that one has. And I got to London, and the very next day was Sunday, and the people I was staying with had mentioned that All Souls Church was down the road, and I'd heard of John Stott, so I wandered down that way, and it was the only day and the only service that didn't have John Stott preaching, but it had a guy called Josh McDowell preaching.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
yeah, and he spent about 30 minutes giving me the closest thing you can get to proof that God exists.
Wow. So God brought just the right person at just the right time into your life. And for people who don't know, Josh McDowell is a famous Christian apologist. In other words, a defender of the Christian faith.
Yeah, and I mean, God is just incredibly gracious because there I was being quite rude, quite honestly. And God just was very kind to me and answered that prayer and said, well, you want proof? Here it is. And, you know, Josh McDowell was at university himself and got challenged to disprove the truth of the scripture. And when he tried to do that, he found he couldn't, and that's what brought him to Christ. And so it was an amazing turnaround. I can't say that I found it easy to obey God, but I can't doubt his existence anymore.
Yeah, now can we back up a little bit? Were you raised a Christian, or did you have a faith before this?
Yes, I was. So I made a commitment in our sort of tradition, I suppose. We often got confirmed around the age of 16, and I went through that process. And I remember being very clear that I couldn't lie to God when I made those commitments. So I would say if there's a particular point at which I made a commitment, it was when I was around 16.
And then it was until later that you kind of had this experience where you kind of drifted away from the Lord?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you sort of fit into the culture, you try to fit in with other people, and then start to question, and that's what happened to me, I guess. And then this particular experience is one that I really remember as one where I felt God was really speaking to me very directly and being very kind to me, and that was a turnaround point.
Mm-hmm. So then from that point on, you had a strong relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord. And then how did you get into the entertainment industry? That's not kind of like what most people do after Bible school. How did this work out?
Yeah, well, again, you know, people like me make silly choices sometimes. it started with someone saying to me while I was overseas, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail and money didn't matter? And I was kind of like, yeah, I'd go acting. I had a lot of fun acting when I was at school. I'd mm-hmm. like to go and be an actor. And so when I got back to South Africa, I actually auditioned for the sort of the top acting school in South Africa, and I got in.
Wow.
And so I thought, oh, well, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll do that. So that's where it all started, and worked in the film industry after that when I came to Australia, because South Africa was a very small industry, and a lot of people were saying, go and get some training overseas, and there was an opportunity to come to Australia, which was wonderful. Came to Australia, got behind the scenes in the film industry, and started working on various shows and film sets in any capacity I could.
So you learned the entertainment industry from the inside.
Correct.
And kind of cut your teeth and learned all of these, the ins and outs of making a movie and a television program?
Certainly some of those things, sure. You know, I certainly knew what it was like on set, and think I learned a fair bit about what works and what doesn't work on set. So that's one aspect. It's a big industry in that a lot goes on. So there's all sorts of different aspects to the making a movie.
And then when did script writing come into the picture?
Script writing actually started when I was at uni, so a long time before. I was kind of treating it more as a hobby, I suppose. When you're training to be an actor, you might write some stuff, you have to write some stuff, and started writing some movie scripts. I was not any good at it, but I did a number of courses. I loved doing that over the years. And then when I left the film industry, when I went into teaching, I kept on writing, and it was kind of like my fix in the morning, my creative fix in the morning. Get up early, have coffee. I'm addicted to coffee now. I'd get up early in the morning and spend some time writing. And an hour of being creative with a script was always made my day better, actually.
Yeah.
I felt my day was better after that. I was a better teacher after that, actually.
Wow. So just writing, it was just in your blood. You just had to do it.
Kind of, yeah. I guess you know, it's like some artists feel like they have to do something. I feel like I have to write. I don't feel like movies have to be made from my writing, but I'm very grateful to God that a movie is being made from my writing, but has been made. But I just like writing. I love doing it.
And then you eventually met a director from India and made some connection with him.
That's right, yeah. So I actually did a job just before, I think it was 2000, so it was about a year mm-hmm. after the incident with Graham Staines.
Yeah, now for people who are listening today and do not know who Graham Staines is and his legacy, could you kind of give us a background on Graham Staines' life?
Sure, yeah, of course. So Graham Staines was a young man who grew up near Brisbane, and he, at the age of 16, was shown a photograph by a missionary of a little boy of the same age as him with leprosy, and he started feeling God's call in his life to go and serve lepers over in India. Mm-hmm. And in 1964 or 5, he traveled over there as a young 20-year-old, 20-something, and he spent the next 35 years of his life serving lepers and the little churches around that area in a very sort of remote part of India, and raised a family there. He had three children, and then in 1999, some radical people who didn't like what he was doing and felt like he was doing the wrong thing actually attacked him and some of his children in a vehicle, and they unfortunately passed away. But we believe that everything is under God's control. So mm-hmm. that incident is the inspiration for the film. Mm-hmm. It's not the whole film, but it is one of the inspirational events of the film.
Our guest today is Perth school teacher Andrew Matthews, who also happens to be the screenwriter for the feature film called The Least of These, The Graham Staines Story. We'll find out more about the story behind this movie when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is Perth school teacher Andrew Matthews, who also happens to be a screenwriter, and he's written a feature film called The Least of These, The Graham Stain Story. Andrew is sharing with us the story behind the making of this movie, which was inspired by Australian missionary Graham Staines, who was tragically killed with two of his sons in 1999 while serving in India. Before the break, we heard how Andrew met a director in India, and they were both interested in making Graham's story into a movie. And so you met this director, and how did the Graham Staines story come about as an idea?
Well, at the time when I was over in India, it was under a year after the event had happened, and most Indian people are very tolerant people, and they were highly embarrassed that a mob would attack not only Graham Staines, but also those children and kill them.
Yeah.
One of the key things, I suppose, that had happened, and this is public knowledge, so it's not a spoiler alert for the film. When Gladys, the wife and mother, was told, and she's also from the Brisbane area, she immediately expressed forgiveness, and she held to that line. She still holds to that line, and she was truly, I think, given the strength by God, the grace by God, to do that. And that had a massive impact. And it just so happened that there were lots of witnesses at the time. They were all there. There were journalists there. And it was all captured. And it was broadcast across the nation in India. Her response and, of course, the embarrassment at what happened. I think the president at the time called it one of the black deeds of history in India. And
yeah, I mean, how terrible was that? Here, he was helping the lepers. I mean, some of the lowest discarded people of society, and he's helping them.
Yeah.
And then to be killed.
Yeah. You know, he was doing what we value in Australia, you know, as the fair go. He's giving the lowest of the low a fair go.
Yeah.
Which is part of our values, our culture, and of course, a Christian value. And he was doing that, and he got killed for it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a horrific tragedy. And so you were there not too long afterward to kind of see some of the effect of that incident on the people in India. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, for years afterwards, even here in Australia, if you chat to an Indian person, they'd always heard of Graham Staines. Mm-hmm. It made huge news over there. And so it was obviously a story that was kind of percolating. And then Anish Daniel was the director of the film. It was percolating in his mind. So at the time, I wrote a couple of other television shows for him, for some of the television work he was doing, and we were getting on well together, and so we started working on this script, not knowing that it would ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's, you've got to go, okay, I'm going to work as best I can for the Lord. I put it out there, I do what I can, and we see what God does. And we're very grateful that God has seen fit to bring this to fruition and bring it to the screen.
Yes, and you actually spent some time in India visiting the leprosy home and other areas where Graham and his wife Gladys worked?
I did, yes, I did. I got very sick there as well.
Oh.
You know, the old Delhi belly.
yeah.
Eat food on the side of the road and you pay for it.
Yeah.
I traveled the trains. I went out to this area. I visited the leprosy home. I met with people there in the hostels where Graham had lived, Graham and Gladys's house. I even stayed in their house. Subsequent to the event, they built a hospital there in Graham's memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work continues, serving the local population there. And I spent about 6 weeks around that area researching, reading up, investigating. And that was, I wanted to get those aspects of the real background, the authenticity right.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, the story itself is partly fictional. you end up having to structure it in a story way. And that was something we had to really think about. Anish and I wrote about four different drafts that which had different main characters to try and work out how best to tell the story, because it's not an obvious story to tell to start with.
Yeah.
And we're just so excited, because what we eventually came up with was a fictional journalist, and it works incredibly well because they're such traumatic events, as you know, we've just been talking about here, that happened, but the audience gets to see them through the journalist's eyes, and the journalist makes it possible for us to also look in on what are actually very traumatic events, but not to be forced as an audience to go through those traumatic events. And that's worked extremely well.
Yeah, and he's quite antagonistic toward the missionary having people put their faith in the Lord.
Yes, I suppose so. But that character is based on a skeptical character. So what happened after this event, because some people had accused Graham Staines of doing the wrong thing, because you're not supposed to convert anyone in that part of India. It's actually against the law, unless a whole lot of certain terms are met or conditions are met. They'd accused Graham of doing the wrong thing and therefore deserving to be punished. And the Indian government appointed Supreme Court Justice Vadva to go and actually investigate and do a commission of inquiry. And so we sort of put Justice Vadva's experience onto the journalist and made it more immediate.
Yeah.
So he starts off as a skeptic, and then his findings, the journalist's findings, are really what Justice Vadva concluded.
Oh, I see. Okay, I was wondering if there had been an actual character like the journalist, but it's kind of a composite of a few different people.
Yeah, yeah, and his discovery, and then the true part of that is what he discovered, the conclusion he comes to is exactly what Justice Vadva comes to.
Okay, and we're not going to give that away. You have to see the movie to find out his conclusions. And you actually went to visit Gladys, Graham's widow, in Townsville, and received her blessing to go forward with this project.
Yeah, that's right. Gladys was very gracious. Not an easy process for her to have to revisit and think through all these kinds of experiences that she's had to go through. But she very graciously allowed us to continue with the writing of the script, to develop it, and to seek funding, investment, and we were very fortunate to get all that together, and now the film. And yeah, she's been wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, so this has been years in the process. You wrote the script, or you finally got a script that you liked, and then what happened next?
We got a script that we liked, and then, again, God steps in, opportunities come up, and you just got to kind of grab them, I guess, when they come up and see what happens. Anish met a gentleman called Krish Dunham, and Krish knew Victor Abraham, who then became the executive producer. And it just so happened that he was in India at a time when I was going to be in India for a script meeting, and we were able to meet and pitch it to him, and he became the executive producer of the movie and put the money up, and we then proceeded to get into all the processes that you have to go through of pre-production and casting and trying to get it all together. Yeah.
So were you there when they actually filmed the movie?
I was there just for the beginning of the filming. I had to get back to a paying job, and I was there for the pre-production, setting everything up. So I had to go backwards and forwards for about 3 months just to help get all that set up as in my producer role.
Yeah, so and you were then, also an associate producer in addition to the scriptwriter?
Yes, that's right. So had a lot to do with all those background contractual stuff that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And trying to support the actual process that one goes through when making a film. And so fortunate to be involved in that part of it as well. Very exciting to see it all come to fruition.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. I mean, how neat was it? Now, you started off with a blank piece of paper and wrote this story, this script, along with Anish, who you met in India. And how cool was it to sit down in a theater and see the final product?
Wow. Well, that is very cool. There's no doubt about it. It is very, very cool. It is an
interesting
process.
Did they do it the way you wanted them to?
Well, you know, a scriptwriter never gets what you imagine is never quite what's on screen. Sometimes it's better, sometimes not quite so good.
Yeah.
I think because you've been involved for so much, when you sit down and watch it in the theater, it's kind of like you've seen this movie so many times.
Hmm.
It's not quite as exciting as one would think.
Oh, yeah, because you've kind of lived it and been through it a whole lot.
So You're more interested in audience reactions, actually, at that point, and kind of going, okay, they're reacting well. That's good. That's good.
Well, let's talk about audience reactions. It was shown in India.
Yes, and we have been very gratified by the response in India. There's been no controversy with regard to it. We were very careful not to lay blame in any way and to stick with the message of forgiveness that Gladys espouses. And and so they're going to take something very strong from the film, which maybe Australian audiences won't take. Australian audiences will take something else from the film. And I think that's what Indian audiences have been very, very grateful. They seem to have responded extremely well. And we hope to be strengthened to continue to be faithful to God's calling on their lives through this film.
So it sounds like part of the legacy is Gladys Staines' reaction to finding out about her husband's death and the forgiveness. And that, to this day, is really profoundly affecting the people who see the movie. Is that right?
It's absolutely affecting people. It's affecting me. It's affected me. It's like asking God to teach me patience. You know you're going to be tested. Take on a movie that's got forgiveness in it, and you know you're going to have to start forgiving people. And I've learned to forgive in a way that, or understood forgiveness in a way that I wouldn't have understood it before. And I've also learned to ask for forgiveness. And I think in my little world, learning to ask my wife and my kids for forgiveness. That's powerful.
So it becomes very personal. It's not just in theory and pictures on a screen. It's real life.
Yeah. And so it's affected me, and I pray it'll affect others as well, you know.
And are you finding that's some of the reaction that you're getting with people who've seen the movie?
Very much so. Most people that I've spoken to who have contacted me have been very moved by the story and found it very thought-provoking. I guess it's not that fluffy kind of entertainment where you which is fine, you can have that, but this is going to provoke thought. You're not going to walk away going, yeah, well, that was fun, let's move on. I think it's going to stick with you. You're going to think about it.
Definitely. It makes you think about the sacrifice that was made, and then, you know, what would you do if you were in that situation where you found out that your spouse had been murdered, and you're trying to be a good witness for your faith, but grieving at the same time.
And you know, that's I think it's just an amazing story of resilience in the face of tragedy, with love and forgiveness. And it's true. It's not made up, and it's a different way of living. It's a better way of living.
So people might think, well, why should I see the movie? I just heard the whole story. But I should say there's a whole lot more to it. Is that right?
I think so. I mean, you know, I can tell you a story here on the radio. It's not going to have the same impact as a story on screen. And God, you know, the Lord Jesus came and told stories, parables, and spoke to people's hearts. And I think, you know, the job, when you go to church in the morning, you get a sermon, we get preaching, we learn from God's word. This is a story, but story has a power of speaking to one's heart in a way that the preaching doesn't sometimes, I would argue. And I think we need these stories to be told because they can make our lives better in a way that we sort of don't even necessarily comprehend with our minds.
And it also just lets us know about our heritage and the heroes of the faith that have done amazing things.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think Graham and Gladys are Aussie heroes, Christian heroes. They weren't expecting glory. They went out there. They were not at all big-name missionaries. They were not the fly-in, fly-out type of missionary. They were the ones that stuck around for a long, long time doing the hard yards with really very little apparent benefit, and God, in His goodness, we pray, will use this film to honor the sacrifice they've made.
And the reality is that nobody would have ever even heard of them if it hadn't been for the tragedy. I mean, so many missionaries are serving tirelessly behind the scenes.
That's right.
Without any glory or any attention.
Yes, and God has, you know, chosen this incident and given me very amazingly the opportunity to be part of it and to bring the story to people, and it's very humbling, quite honestly.
And lastly, in our few remaining moments, what has happened in that area in India after the tragedy?
Well, it's gone on pretty much as it was. One of the great things is, though, that the local Indian Christians have really taken on the responsibility of continuing the work there. Mm-hmm. And so the work continues. The leprosy home continues to function. There's the hospital there. The hostels for children of Christian people from remote villages are able to come and stay in the hostels and get an education. And all of that is continuing to happen without missionaries coming in, with the Indian people running it. And that's a great victory.
Yeah, so that's a wonderful ongoing legacy. Mm-hmm. And thanks to you and your team and everybody who made the movie, the legacy is going to be even more widely known and people will be inspired by his life.
We certainly hope so, yes. And we need to think of things from an internal perspective and mm-hmm. remember that God sees things and counts things differently to the way we do.
Amen. Well, Andrew Matthews, thank you so much for sharing that wonderful story, and thank you so much for being a part of making that movie come to reality.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Our guest today has been Andrew Matthews, the screenwriter for the movie The Least of These, The Graham Stain Story. To find out more information about this wonderful movie, you can go to their website, theleastofthesemovie.com.au. That's theleastofthesemovie.com.au. Also, we invite you to join us again next time when our guest will be Krish Dunham, who was born in India and was the spiritual consultant for the movie and also had a small part in the film. We'll find out about his life growing up in India and how he became involved in the making of the film. All that and more coming up next time, right here on Real Faith.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.